genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. If all of this sounds like National Public Radio, well, you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the county, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, but before we get to today's theme, I have a couple of announcements and shout-outs. First of all, the announcements. If you tuned in at 9 o'clock expecting to hear the Freeman Michael Show, Freeman is on holiday hiatus. You can go to the Freeman Michael Show Facebook page for updates on when he will return. Also, if you tuned in at 9 o'clock, you now know that Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is on for 2 hours. That's right. We can be heard from 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock weekdays here on KKZZ 1400, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. It's the same interviews that I have with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community, just expanded to 2 full hours for your listening pleasure. Now for the shout-outs. A couple of shout-outs. First of all, for New York City, which is snowbound, big shout-out to Donna, who I know is listening to New York City today because she can't get into work and there's nothing better to do. Also to Gerald right here in Ventura County, thank you for being a loyal listener and a loyal supporter of Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. Now to today's theme. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is how to. Each of my guests will teach us how to be something better than we are now. My first guest will show us how to be a better communicator to the media. In other words, how to be your own publicist. He'll give us examples of what not to do by showcasing the 10 worst media disasters of 2010. My second guest is a politician from New Jersey who believes we should all take action for our causes and our businesses. She'll show us how to be our own lobbyist. My third guest gives us a difference between being a child and being adult. She'll show us how to be a grown-up. And as always, if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Brad Phillips is president of Phillips Media Relations. Brad began his broadcasting journalism career with ABC News Nightline with Ted Koppel. Many of you remember that. He then moved to CNN, where he produced 2 weekly programs, Reliable Sources and The Capital Gang. He was also a contributing producer to The Late Edition with Wolf Blitzer. Mr. Phillips is frequently quoted as a media expert, appearing in all kinds of publications and television shows. He's the author of the Mr. Media Training Blog, the world's most visited media training blog site, according to that source, technorati.com. Brad, welcome to the show today. How are you?
Billy, it's great to be with you.
Well, it's absolutely a pleasure to have you today as we go into the new year looking ahead. I wanted to look back, if we can, at the top 10 media mistakes. And you've sort of created this list. It's very similar to the Mr. Blackwell list of top 10 worst dressed celebrities. How and why did you create this list?
Well, first of all, watching these clips is just plain fun. We want to see public figures in their worst possible moments. But more importantly, the question is, what can people learn from those clips? It's amazing that no matter how many times a public figure or politician makes a mistake, and no matter how many times people like me talk about ways to avoid it, they keep making those kinds of mistakes over and over again.
Well, it's amazing. You would think that these are people who are trained to be in the public eye, who know that the camera is following their every move, and yet they continue to make these mistakes. How is it that people can be so forgetful of their public position?
Well, to a degree, I think some of these people that we'll talk about in a minute are just loose cannons. But, you know, I am sympathetic to these people. They are, in some cases, awake 20, 21 hours a day, particularly when they're in the heat of a political campaign, and when people are exhausted, that's when mistakes can happen.
Ah, well, that's a good point, and I hadn't thought of it that way. Now, one of the other things I noticed about your list was you didn't limit yourself to just the United States. You went worldwide looking for gaffes and mistakes and faux pas. I mean, aren't there enough silly things said and done here in the United States that you had to
absolutely.
Go international?
I could have very easily made this a top 100 list of things just from the United States, but the question I was looking for were what really were the gaffes that had the largest impact, and sometimes that happened here in the United States, but, you know, our friends in Canada and our friends in Great Britain have public figures who have also made some terrible mistakes, and I would not want to leave my friends up north or across the sea out.
All right. Well, it's good of you to be very inclusive like that. I appreciate it, Brad. So let's get to the list. There are actually 10 entries on the list, plus you have this year a runner-up. So let's start with the runner-up, honorable mention. And who gets honorable mention on your list this year?
Well, a bit of a sad story. Helen Thomas, the 89-year-old White House correspondent who's been covering every president since John F. Kennedy, ended her career on a bad note this year. She was asked a question about her views on Israel, and her response on camera was, "Tell them to get the hell out of Palestine." Well, within a week, she was forced to resign under pressure. That almost certainly will be her last job in journalism. And it's just a sad end to a storied career.
That it is. And it's just one of those things, again, you would think that Helen Thomas would know better being in the public eye. Things get taken out of context. So let's move on to the list, the top 10 list. Number 10 on your list is?
Number 10, Sarah Palin. You may remember a moment back in February when she scribbled on her hand. Now, a lot of people said this was making a mountain out of a molehill, but the truth is she was being paid $100,000 to give a very high-profile speech, and there's already this view in at least half of the United States that she's not ready for political office. When there's a moment when a public figure scribbles notes on her hand, it just reinforces that view that a lot of people already held about her.
Well, Brad, for all of us C students out in the audience listening to the sound of us who wrote notes on our hands in school just to get through, doesn't that make her more human?
Well, you could make that case, but, you know, I think the biggest problem for public figures is when there's an existing narrative about that person, when there's a public perception about a person, and then that public figure does something that reinforces it, it just keeps that narrative and that story alive. So in this case, I'm not sure it was, for example, if President Obama went and gave a speech tomorrow with something scribbled on his hand, I'm not sure it would have gotten as much attention because that's not the existing perception of him. He has other existing perceptions which are damaging, but that's just not one of them.
All right. We're talking to Brad Phillips, everybody. We're discussing the 10 worst media disasters of the year 2010. Number 10 was Sarah Palin. Moving up on the list, number 9. Who's your number 9 choice?
Number 9 belongs to Christine O'Donnell. She was a Senate candidate in Delaware running on the Republican ticket. She, earlier in her career, had said that she dabbled in witchcraft. Well, as you can imagine, a late-night talk show host had a whole lot of fun with that, including Bill Maher, on whose show she made that comment back in the 90s. So she felt she had to refute that. She did that by releasing an ad, and the first words in the ad were, "I'm not a witch." Whenever a public figure has to release an ad denying something, or say something denying something, such as Bill Clinton's infamous, "I did not have sexual relations with that woman," or Richard Nixon's, "I'm not a crook," whenever somebody has to do that, it almost automatically becomes an iconic phrase. And this one certainly did.
Well, now, you know, it's one of those situations where she could have turned that to a much more positive situation. She could have come up with bumper stickers that said, "Yes, Wiccan," and then it would have been a play on the Obama campaign of 2008, "Yes, We Can." It could have been kind of fun.
You know, that's very witty. I haven't heard that one before, and I agree with you.
All right. That's number 9 on the list, Christine O'Donnell. Who's number 8 on your list this year?
Number 8 belongs to a man nobody in your audience has probably heard of, Dr. Stephen Duckett. He's the former CEO of Alberta Health Services up in Canada. What happened a couple of months ago is their hospitals ran out of beds, and Dr. Duckett was responsible for the health of 3.5 million Canadians. So when cameras caught up with him, 5 times in a row he issued the same phrase as a comment, "I'm eating a cookie." Well, as you can imagine, that did not play well with the mothers in Canada about to give birth, who were nervous whether or not they were going to be able to get a hospital room to deliver their child in. Within a week, he was fired and removed from his post.
And perhaps rightfully so. We're talking to Brad Phillips, everybody, about the top 10 media disasters of the year 2010. Number 7 on your list. Now, this is one where, you know, we're talking about a public figure, and we're talking about straddling that borderline between being ethical and also being upfront with people, as well as kind of keeping it a little bit less crude. So what's number 7 on your list?
Yeah, I tried to balance this list politically. We've talked about a couple of Republicans. Vice President Biden gets the number 7 slot. When health care reform passed in March, it was for President Obama a huge legislative accomplishment. At the signing ceremony, which was nationally televised live on every cable news broadcast, Joe Biden introduced the president, and before the president said a word, Biden leaned in, and I'll clean this up for your audience. He said, Mr. President, this is a big effing deal. The president meant that his headlines the next day were half about Biden's gaffe and half about health care reform. Obviously, the president would have preferred every headline to be about the legislation itself.
Right. And the part that we remember, of course, is the crudity of the comments. So number 6 on your list.
Jan Brewer, governor of Arizona, was running for re-election. She actually did win, but she certainly didn't help her case back in a debate in September. She was asked by the moderator to give an opening statement, and she just went blank. For about 14 or 15 seconds, she said nothing. And if you look at the video clip of this, what you'll see is she puts her head down, she starts laughing nervously, and finally she looks up and starts rambling something that was pretty close to incoherent. It certainly didn't portray the image of a politician who was ready for prime time.
No, it certainly didn't. We're talking to Brad Phillips, everybody, who is giving us the worst 10 worst media disasters of the year 2010. Brad, if people want to see some of these film clips, where do you have them archived? Where would you send them to go on the Internet?
Yeah, they should go to our website, www.mrmediatraining.com. And the Mr. there is just MR, MrMediaTraining.com. We have video clips of all 10 of these, or 11 of these, that we're discussing today.
All right, now we're coming up on number 5 on your list, and I find it interesting. 2010 was a year of real hostility between the media and the people that they were reporting on. This one, I think, showcases the level of animosity between the politicians and the media that are covering it. So what was number 5 on your list?
Yeah, you're exactly right. This year was a really tough year for press relations, but this one took the cake. Carl Paladino, here in my home state of New York, he was the Republican candidate for governor, and it really kind of reached its bottom a few months ago, back in September, when he ran into a reporter from the New York Post who had done something he wasn't happy with. So the quote was, he said, "You send another goon to my daughter's house and I'll take you out, buddy." And when the reporter asked how he planned to do that, Paladino responded with one word, "Watch."
Ooh, ominous, scary.
Yeah, it really sends shivers up your spine to watch that clip.
Oh, I bet it does. Yeah, and sort of reinforces all of our notions of New York out here in California, too. I want you to know, Brad.
I assure you we have a few nice people out here as well.
Good to know. All right, number 4 on your list is a member of the California Paparazzi. Tell us who's on number 4 on your list.
Yeah, and this one I really take very little joy in including in the list. Mel Gibson, whose unhinged rants over the summer, they came out one after another. I think in total there were 6 or 7 of those very damaging clips where he made threats to physically assault his ex-girlfriend. There were accusations that he actually hit his ex-girlfriend while their baby was in her hands. So listening to the clips, you realize just how unhinged this guy is. And, you know, one of the things I point out is he was supposed to be in the sequel to The Hangover, making a cameo appearance. The stars of that movie said, no way, we're not working with him. But what's interesting about that is, for the first Hangover, they were willing to work with Mike Tyson, convicted of rape. So in this case, they were more willing to work with Tyson than Mel Gibson. That tells you something about where his career is right now.
Absolutely makes a comment. We're talking to Brad Phillips, everybody, and we're going to return to this whole theory of hostility towards the media with your number 3 on your list of the top 10 media gaffes for the year. What was number 3 on your list?
Yeah, this is another politician, a guy named Bob Etheridge. He was a Democratic congressman from North Carolina. Back in June, he was confronted on the street by a couple of young interviewers who just asked him some questions, I think, about Obama's health care proposal or health care law. And he didn't like the fact that they were asking him those questions. Now, those young men did nothing, absolutely nothing, to deserve what they got. But what they got was Congressman Etheridge grabbing the wrist of one of the interviewers and ultimately grabbing the back of the neck of one of the interviewers, physically assaulting them. The bottom line for Etheridge is that clip got played over and over again in the media, particularly on Fox News. He lost his reelection bid by about 1,500 votes, and you have to think that that moment had an awful lot to do with why he lost that election.
Certainly it did. Speaking of losing an election bid, number two on your list may have cost this man his run for political office. Who's number two on your list?
Yeah, looking across the pond for this one, former British Prime Minister Gordon Brown. Now, he was in a pretty tight reelection bid. He was close. He was within striking distance, but just about a week before the election, he met a constituent of his on the street, just a random older woman who was on the street, and she expressed her concerns about illegal immigration into Great Britain. So he had a very pleasant conversation with her, got back into his car, and remarked to one of his aides, "What a bigoted woman." Well, it turns out he still had the microphone on. The mic was still hot, and that moment was played over and over again on British television. The bottom line is his party ended up losing 91 seats and got swamped in the election a week after that happened.
We're talking to Brad Phillips, everybody, head of his own media relations company. We're talking about the 10 worst media disasters of 2010. And if I put out a poll and ask my listeners what was the number one media gaffe of the year, I think most people would get this one, but it certainly is worth mentioning. What is number one on your list?
Yeah, this one is going to be one of those lines that is used in media training classes probably for the next 20 years. Tony Hayward, the former head of British Petroleum, remember 11 people died on his rig. Thousands of people were unemployed as a result of the oil spill in the Gulf. And when asked about it, cameras caught him saying, "I'd like my life back." That was in a string of one media gaffe after another by him. That one was a real low, because I am certain that the spouses of the 11 men who died on his rig would have liked their lives back much more than Tony Hayward resuming his jet-setting lifestyle.
Absolutely. We've been talking to Brad Phillips, everybody, who's the CEO of Phillips Media Relations, about the 10 worst media disasters of 2010. Brad, if people liked your list, wanted to learn more about it, maybe even see those film clips that you're referring to, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Yeah, they can visit www.mrmediatraining.com. The Mr. is MR, so mrmediatraining.com.
Brad, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thanks so much. Your list is entertaining, as always. We'll be talking to you down the road.
Yeah, thanks so much, and Happy New Year to you and to all of your listeners.
And to you, Brad. Take care.
Thanks, Billy.